delicious, convenient Omaha steak, but want something a bit more exotic, then you got to try Belmont Steaks.
Mmm, I love it. Smarty Jones, medium rare.
That's right. We slaughter horse racing's finest past champions, wrap them in colorful silks, then overnight them straight to your home.
Who wants another Giacomo burger?
I do. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
Well, now you can, thanks to Belmont Steaks.
Win the triple crown of great taste. Try new Belmont Steaks. Anything less is just flogging a dead horse.
Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
A new car alarm attacks thieves' self-esteem. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The SoundQuest Car Alarm Company announced a breakthrough today that goes further than merely scaring thieves away with loud noises. The company's new anti-auto theft system harshly attacks would-be criminal self-esteem, blaring such messages as, "You are a loser," and "What's the matter? Couldn't get your GED?" Company spokesperson Ben Riegert.
Any car thief trying to steal a car armed with our alarm system will end up in a ball, crying like a baby. I mean, these things can hurt you.
Riegert adds the company is working to develop an alarm capable of projecting pictures of the thief's girlfriend sleeping with his best friend, Roberto. Well, Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. eBay Captain of Industry.
Mr. eBay Captain of Industry.
Whether it's Grandma's prosthetic leg, a G.I. Joe with Kung Fu grip, or a water pump from a 79 Gremlin, you smell money where others smell garbage.
One man's trash is another man's auction.
Armed only with a digital camera, a PC, and a detailed knowledge of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, you, Mr. eBay Captain of Industry, have created an empire.
The Donald Trump of cyberspace.
Your reserve is always low.
And you package carefully, yeah.
So the next time you purchase a set of vintage clown figures or a Mama's Family Betamax box set, be sure to use PayPal and give positive feedback to Mr. eBay, Captain of Industry, a real American hero.
Mr. eBay, Captain of Industry.
You made how much off that autographed Kevin Federline hat?
Damn.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
We'll let you sing the intro song from now on. That would be cool.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
It'll be different every time.
Yeah.
I will totally do it.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Thursday, March 11. How you doing today? You're looking very nice today.
Really?
I got to tell you. Yeah. And it's not the way you dress. It's just your face. You seem like awake and
well,
ready to go.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I found
is that true, though? I mean, is that pretty perceptive of me?
I think it's very perceptive, and mm-hmm. I do feel very perky. I'm bushy-tailed and bright-eyed and wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. Tush-tailed wide-eyed, bushy-tailed wide-eyed.
Yeah. No, you can tell you're a morning person because,
no,
you know, you don't drag yourself in here
you know, very
half
rare,
asleep.
Very
yeah.
rarely am I, like, tired in the morning. Yeah, it's really weird because everything I do as far as, like, acting and or mainly comedy and music is late-night type stuff.
Right.
And it's so funny because it doesn't fit my personality. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I can go to bed so late and then be up like around 7 or 8. And just
really?
Ring,
yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I've been going to sleep rather early, like at 11 o'clock, you know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, then I'm not so tired in the morning, you know. I used to go to sleep really late, like 1 or 2, and then get up at 6:30, you know.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, that's not enough, you
know.
And
you seem like the guy, like you said, you're the guy that likes to get his hour of, like, waking up and...
Yeah, exactly.
Door to the bathroom. And...
But I'm a morning person myself. I love mornings, you know.
Oh, you do?
It's like the best, you know. The earlier, the better for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What time do you wake up?
Well, I actually wake up at about 6:30, 6:45. I mean, that's not that early,
uh-huh.
But I used to get up a lot earlier. But no, I mean, I need my sleep, for crying out loud. You know?
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. No, I love working out in the morning, but I can't get my ass out of the bed to do.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, honestly, truth be told, I need to start, and I think I will do this, start getting up earlier and running and then coming to the station.
Right.
Because it's like it gets it out of the way and it feels good, but it's just getting all my freaking workout clothes on.
Right.
At like 6 a.m. It's not fun.
No, it's not. It's really hard getting out of bed in the morning.
It is hard.
Especially when it's cold and, you know, you
and
just
I have to dig
stay.
For my workout clothes, and it's like putting on workout clothes is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like I have all these different pieces I need.
Mm-hmm.
And they're everywhere.
You put together like a whole outfit to
well,
run?
Well, you know, it's just because you need certain equipment. Like I usually wear about, not lying, like 2 or 3 sports bras, and they're everywhere. And then I have to find the right workout pants and the socks, the shoes or shorts, whatever I'm wearing, and then the right shirt, and then usually a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of freaking work.
It is.
Like,
huh?
I sleep in my dresses. I slept in this dress last night and just threw the sweater over so my boobs wouldn't be out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't.
Where did you wear the dress? I mean, I can't even tell what the dress is like because you have a sweater on.
Yeah, it's a way.
But where did you wear it last night that you had to sleep in it?
Well, I mean, it's getting home late and I don't want to do anything. So I just literally walk like a zombie to my bed and I just fall asleep. And
that amazes me, you know?
It's wrong. It's probably wrong and crunchy and nasty, but I do it anyway.
Yeah.
But
for me, it takes like 15 minutes to get ready for bed, you know? It's like, you know, do like a whole face cleansing and brush my teeth and floss.
That's what hygienic adult people do, and
I suppose.
I just don't. I just deal with it the next
morning.
Yeah,
you just get really tired at night.
I get tired, and I just like, you know, I scrape the makeup off my face from the night before, wash it, put lotion on, and then moisturizer, and then sunscreen, and then do my makeup or attempt to do some of it and do the rest of it in the car because it's really safe.
Yeah, very nice.
Very safe. And I just, you know, kept the dress on because I don't want to look for other clothes. But oh my gosh, so are you ready for last night?
Yeah.
Okay, Sam, I want everybody to know at home, my life will be made into a reality TV show. It's going to be called Living Vicariously, okay?
Right.
It's not just about me, but it's through me. It's about all the experiences that I have. And this will be a reenacted episode on the freaking show because it's too funny. So I'm always getting myself into these crazy situations where I'm saying yes to a lot of things and I'm just, you know, hoping it's not illegal or hoping that I'm not going to get killed. And, you know, I'm not saying that's the safest way to do stuff, but, you know, I've had some really colorful adventures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I work a lot of part-time gigs. I'm always looking for the next little quick little job, just because it's just what you do when you're acting. You need non-committed type stuff. So, and I'm, you know, especially in your industry, it's the, you know, more advantageous. So they had a casting for singers and musicians and like bass players and instrumentalists. And I responded and sent them my stuff. And he's like, okay, well, we need you tonight. And I had like plans already for last night and everything.
Uh-huh.
And it paid, you know, a few hundred dollars. And it was just show up at this Persian televised red carpet banquet event, and we need you to be a backup singer and lip sync to this big huge Persian artist.
Is that in English or in Farsi?
No, it's in Turkish.
Oh, in Turkish.
Yeah, which I don't even, I don't know any of that.
Yeah.
And I said, absolutely, I'm the woman for the job. I said, sure. He's like dressed a little nice, like it's, you know, black tie, and I said, okay, so we're this dress, and so he's needed other people and other couple other backup singers, and so I brought Sarah, my roommate, who's 6'2", and you know, us standing up against each other is hysterical,
yeah,
and we're both these like Outrageous Blondes. And so we roll up there, and he takes us in the room, and he gives us this song we have to real quick learn. Of course you can't learn it. It's like da 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 da.
Actually, and besides, if it's not your language, how does he suppose, I mean, how does he expect you to learn the fucking song?
Well, I told him, I said, dude, this isn't going to happen. I said, just to let you know, I mean, you know, I just, it's just not going to happen. So he's like, don't worry, you're lip singing. You're going to be kind of in the background, just know when to kind of like fake the words. I said, are you kidding me? And I was like, this is going to be pure comedy. So we're actually on the stage that we're being televised on the big Persian, I guess the main and only Persian television station, the television channel.
Right.
And it was just like the most funniest thing in the world. And he told us not to laugh on stage. And Sarah looks over at me and I'm like, all I'm doing is saying the alphabet because that's, I mean, I don't know what to do. Just, I was like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, J, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, N, Y, N, Z. And I was trying to not be too animated, but I was, but the funny thing is we don't know the song. So we only start doing our fake lip singing when we start to hear music in the background. And so we're like, I mean, it's just, it's awful. But you know,
it's not just the words. I mean, even the song itself.
Yeah,
you don't know when to come in.
We don't even know, you know, any of that stuff. So my point is, it was hysterical. But we actually, you want me to play the song?
Yeah.
Okay, let me play it.
Well, you won't be able to through the microphone. It won't sound very good. Do you want? Is it complicated to get to that site?
No, it's through my email. But I mean, I can.
Okay.
I can hold it up. Watch this.
Okay.
Because this is really, really, really funny.
Okay.
It is so funny.
Okay, well, it won't sound good, but it's better than
that's
nothing,
okay.
Right?
Just try to give you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. Man. A, B, C, D, F, G, H, J, K, L, M, O, P, Q, R, S, T. H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, T, V, S, Y,
Z. Oh, my God. That's terrible. That's a terrible song.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. But you know, you must have looked like a Godzilla movie, you know, where the lips move one way and the words are another.
Oh my gosh. It was like, but you know what? You know, the focus was they had all these like visual performers that were like acrobatics falling from the ceiling doing like these rope tricks, and then you had the artist was singing and he's playing like the sitar and stuff. So we sat down and it was so funny because we're like the only real blondes there, you know. There's pretty much everybody's very dark and, you know,
hair,
what I'm talking about, like Iranians. And
I do.
You know, but it was a really cool night of just being in, like, I guess the cream of the crop of musicians and comedians. And Bijan, I guess, is a big Persian designer on Rodeo Drive, and he was there. And so, you know, we don't know any of these people, so we're not starstruck, and we don't really care. We just want our few hundred dollars. But we got to eat for free, like, this really awesome food.
Really?
And then, like, half the people in the music that were in the musicians and the bands, they left, so all their food came out. So Sarah and I were eating, like, we were passing around the salmon, the steak, we were passing around the lamb chops, and we were like, you know, dipping it. We were like, well, they're not freaking here. I mean, you don't. So we like ate so much, and Sarah's like, Karen, she's like, just another adventure with Kara. She's like, just another adventure, because she's like down. If I say, Sarah, listen, I need you to be a Russian dancer tonight. Wear a bathing suit. She's like, okay, for you, I'll do it. And we have the best time. But we were sitting next to a bunch of these television producers for the Persian TV show, and a bunch of people that had like shows, you know. And I don't know, but they were really cool people. And you know, there's this whole like, we're blonde, and it's a really weird vibe. Now, I'm not in the culture, and I don't know, and I'm sure there's a difference between just like Jewish culture. You're more Orthodox, conservative, and then you're just kind of liberal, right? Or people that don't even practice it, whatever. And I know that's a religion, but I mean, I think with the Persian community, there's probably different, like, people that are more younger, and then people that are from like the motherland or whatever.
Right.
But there is an interesting territorial thing going on. So we were in the music and the band area, and the artist, he saw me talking with some of the producers and stuff, and I wasn't initiating any of it. They were just talking to me.
Right.
And he gave me his card, and I told him we're on the radio. It'd be fun to have him on the radio at some time. And, you know, they're really, really funny guys, and he sent another, the guy who hired me, sent him over there to be like, "Now listen, baby, okay? Listen. You're talking to them, and that is okay. And personally, I don't care. If you want to further your career, that's great. I don't care, baby. But the artist doesn't want you doing that because you're here with him, okay, baby?
Wow.
He thinks it's unprofessional because you are here in his group, and he doesn't want other people, okay, to take you away."
Wow.
And I was like, he goes, it's a
weird... That's that masculine thing.
Yeah,
going
but
on
he was he was like, it's a weird cultural thing. I don't even get it. That's what he said. He's
really?
Like, he's like, it's a cultural thing. He's like, I don't even get it.
Yeah.
So not everybody's on that page. But
yeah, like they feel like you were their date or something.
I don't know what. I mean, we didn't even talk. He was kind of a snob. He didn't even talk to Sarah and I. I mean, he was doing his thing. And we're like the backup singers that fucking don't know. Excuse me. we don't know, you know, Farsi or Turkish or anything. We're not even on the radar. We're just,
right.
you know, decorative.
Yeah.
Hi ta ka ki ta 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 re b c d f g e ha da 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 da. Well, anyway, so I was like, that is weird. And Sarah, I was like, Sarah,
it's creepy.
I was like, it is creepy. I was like, Sarah, I was told not to talk to them and not to give them my number right now, and or not to let anybody see it. She's like, what? I was like, it's weird. She goes, I don't care, Kara. Just eat the freaking salmon. Let's have fun. She's like, it was open bar. She's like, let's just have fun. And so they ended up, a lot of musicians left. So we ended up just hanging out with this group, this table, and they were really funny, cool people. And but I noticed with the women, clearly Sarah and I are like outsiders.
Right.
We're kind of the help, quote unquote, and we don't fit in. And a lot of women, I think, are very, like, jealous, and, like, I feel as though there is this, this is the insider, like, this is who we are, we're the Persian women, we take care of the man, or we're their princess, or something, and then you have, like, these lone girls in there, and it's almost offensive that we're even there. And then some of the men are looking. It's just weird. It's not like, it's not the same as the Hollywood scene or something where there's tons of different.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everybody's. It's like, you know, whatever. You're your own person, and
you're definitely an outsider. You know.
Yeah, it was so interesting. I mean, I felt honored to be there, even just to get to observe and to be in a different culture and see how everything goes down. But you definitely feel like there's this invisible, like, don't cross this line.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really weird.
So that's the vibe you got from them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the men were cool.
But nobody said anything to you, like the women.
Well, there was one woman that was, I guess she was kind of seating people, and maybe she was one of the organizers of this event. Well, apparently there was this couple that got there late, and the only seating that they had for them was with the musicians. And we kind of had a full table. And so this couple comes up, and this woman's, like, looking at us with her, and she wanted to be blonde, so she had, like, a really bad blonde job. And, like, I don't know, there's something with the makeup and everything. It's just too over the top.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense to you. Like, you'd have to be in the room to see it. It's almost...
Yeah, I can picture it.
It's kind of clownish.
Yeah.
And she comes over, and she's, like... She just stands over near us and doesn't say anything, and... I said, oh, do you need us to get up? Do they need to get by? And I thought they just needed to get by. And she was like, yes. And I was like, what is that? And then the guy behind me, the TV producer, said, don't move. He says, do not move. She wanted to get us out.
Really?
She wanted us to move so that this couple can have the table.
Mm.
She wanted us to leave. Like, you're done. You're not allowed to be here.
Really?
And that was, the TV producer was like, don't leave. So we didn't leave. I just ignored her. Like, I don't speak Farsi. I don't know. You know, only English. So I acted like I didn't know anything after I had offered to kind of scoot over. But a couple people did leave and gave up their seats for this couple, and they were not happy to be sitting at our table.
Yeah.
They felt kind of like they'd been, like, ousted or
something. Yeah.
Kind of as though... Oh, we're with the help. It was funny. It was such a funny night. I mean, I just had the best time taking it all in. And every time these guys were introducing us to people, he was, this person's the biggest pop star in this. This person's the biggest this and this. We don't know anything.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, well, we'll take your word on it. But it was one of these, like, it's a very insular world. And in the Persian community, we were meeting the best of the best of the best of the best, and everybody had shows and this and that. And
right.
It was such a fun, crazy night.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and it made...
Did you go with the cleavage and everything, too?
I mean, it was part of the... It's part of my body, so yeah.
Part of your body. Okay, well, do you think maybe that's what they were looking at? The women? Maybe that's what was
offending
them?
Well, everybody had cleavage.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's people wearing evening gowns and stuff. I mean, the girls are hiked up and stuff. I'm not standing out. I mean, I'm wearing a black cocktail dress. And
right.
Most of these women had on long, like, you know, evening gowns, and some of them had very plunging necklines, and or, you know, they had an open back or whatever. It was, you know, like red carpet. So we were actually more conservative in the sense of, you know, I wore more of a shorter evening kind of cocktail dress, and so did Sarah. So we were kind of,
You but guys do look funny together when she's so tall. You
know? I know, and we were like,
I think anybody's shorter than her.
Oh,
you know?
Everybody's shorter than her. Like, you know, 99% of humans are.
Yeah.
But it was so funny because we're up there, and there's like whoop bloop. And Sarah's up in the rafters, and I'm like super short compared to her. Mm-hmm. And we're just hi kai hi ta ring yang 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 yang. And the guy was up there with us, being a backup singer, quote unquote, lip singing. And he told Sarah, don't laugh, don't laugh, baby, don't laugh. And I kept looking over at her, and I mean, it was like I almost totally peed my pants because I kept looking at her because she her style was to kind of look aloof, like she's like looking out like she's rich and raising her eyebrow like da, 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 and then she would look over towards me to lean into the microphone, and she would always come in too late and we're already finished.
Yeah.
And it was like it was so freaking funny.
Yeah. I'm surprised nobody tried to pick you up though.
I mean, you know? Given they would have.
What do you mean they would have?
I mean, if I would have lingered or, you know, there was one guy that kept staring at me and I was like, oh, here we go. But I deflected the situation and then finally I couldn't get out of it because one of the guys introduced me to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hello, da, da, da. But it's, you know, you can get out of that if you kind of and turn direction and don't engage. Like if I would have engaged for a long time, that would have happened. And but it's funny. It's really there's just something in the culture. I sensed or not the whole culture, just a specific night. I sensed a very interesting and attractive vibe, but yet a hostility.
Yeah.
And that's just my own feeling. But Sarah felt the same thing too. As far as we really don't belong, so there's something kind of weird there. And then we're also single, and some of the women feel weird about that. And the guys are interested, but then they're also kind of like, there's an aggression towards they haven't. Because a lot of times women are seen as property. They're seen as kind of the fire hydrant that a dog goes and pees on. Mm-hmm. Mine. Pee, mark your territory. Uh-huh. Women obviously are way more than that. However, men, sometimes it's not about the woman, it's about each other. So they try, it's almost like, I've heard it said, it's a cockfight where they basically are trying to one-up each other, and the girl's just kind of the token. She's the decoration that they're trying to basically mount on their wall.
Yeah, sounds reasonable. I mean, that's pretty much the culture in the Middle East, you know?
Yeah, but it was so fun. I mean, and everybody was actually really cool that we talked to. Very cool. I just sensed something going on behind the scenes that really didn't have anything to do with Sarah and I, but I could sense it. It's almost like, too, we were trying to talk to people.
Well, maybe you're projecting. You know, maybe you guys are the ones that felt outsiders, and then felt that people were looking at you that way. You know, or maybe they were.
I don't think anybody cared enough. I don't think people were that focused, but in the area we were sitting, and, you know, there were some looks and some, you know, there were some things.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like anything big. I'm just saying. It was subtle enough, but you could sense, because people were even saying, oh, how did you guys show up here? You obviously don't, and it wasn't rude. They were just kind of like, how'd you stumble into this place?
Yeah.
And people wanted to know why we were there. Yeah. But it was funny. It was so funny, and it was just priceless.
Yeah. It sounds like it. Obviously, you had a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun.
Sounds good.
Hi, 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 hi.
So what time did you get home?
I got home around like 12:31.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Not too bad.
No, not too bad.
So funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's why I need a camera on me at all times. I get into the craziest scenarios.
Yeah.
All the time.
That's good. That's good.
Oh,
I mean, it makes your life interesting. Adventures.
I feel like they're adventures.
Yeah. They are adventures.
I was like, I told the guy that was hiring me, I was like, don't try to, like, sell me on, like, the sex slavery market. package me up and ship me off, freaking harpoon me and drug me, and then I'm like, where am I? This don't look like California.
Yeah. Where did you find out about this gig? On Craigslist or something?
Craigslist is definitely one of the possibilities, and it was a casting, so I don't know if it, I can't remember if it was on Craigslist.
Mm.
Yeah, but no, I do a lot of stuff on Craigslist. But Craigslist is like a flea market.
Yeah.
You have to dig to find like the good stuff.
Legitimate ones.
Yeah, you have to, you know, and I've gotten really good at it, but I'm actually going to post on my website when it launches. It's called Craigslist Chronicles, and it's all of the crazy jobs I've had on Craigslist.
Really?
And it's
going
to allow people to post their own job that they've had. It doesn't have to be on Craigslist, but the whole idea is the craziest, funniest things.
Right.
I have really good friends that, you know, because it's good for quick employment.
Right.
Where there's no commitment and you need something quickly.
Right.
I mean, when I'm looking for jobs that are more sales-driven or more professional, I go to different job boards.
Right.
Like, you know, Monster or things like that.
Right. But you don't go after that stuff, do you?
What, the sales jobs and stuff?
Yeah.
I started really putting my effort in that direction because I really felt like I needed a real job to get financially stable, because the little gigs are great and you can make some quick, good cash. But
right.
if something happens to set you back financially, then you can't really, you don't have anything to absorb the cost.
Right, right.
And I've experienced that. I'm actually dealing with that right now. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you're trying to, you know, basically rubber band and tape it together, and you don't have a steady flow of anything. So
right,
it's one
exactly.
of these.
But there's
that's what you sign up for.
All the time,
but that's
kind
of what you sign up for when you're really
that's
going after
true.
Dreams. You don't. So I always go back and forth with, you know, I'm really putting all my effort in pursuing, you know, acting, music, and comedy, and really, you know, springboarding into that. And then there's times you're like, oh, damn. Mm. I really want to go fill up my whole gas tank right now.
Yeah.
Let me go look into that job behind a desk. Data entry sounds nice right now.
Yeah.
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 Right.
See, sometimes you don't have a choice, you know.
Yeah.
You
got to
do what you got to do.
And I've done a lot of different jobs, and, you know, I've been very humbled by it.
Right.
I mean, I went from being a sales director for a company to working. I thought, oh, I'll just quit this. Well, they were dissolving the sales staff because of the economy and the housing market crashed, you know.
Right.
So, and I was in the housing business, so we had to, basically, they dissolved us. And I was like, oh, no problem. This was too much of a commitment anyway. I'll go and find, like, a quick cocktail serving job, a few nights a week, make X amount of money. I couldn't find anything.
Really?
And everything I found, there were hundreds of applicants.
Wow.
I'm not even lying.
Yeah.
And this was like a year ago, so it's even worse now. So I found a position as a cashier. I thought it was a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in, and I see French fries and hamburgers.
Uh-huh.
And I said, is this fast food? He goes, well, it's not exactly fast. It's like a slow-cooked fast food.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, clearly this isn't a fit. Clearly this isn't a fit for me.
So they wanted you to flip hamburgers and shit?
Not flip them, sell them.
Oh, sell the hamburgers.
And I was like...
Oh, at the cashier, okay.
As a cashier. So I was like, no, this isn't going to work. And he said, well, the tips are actually pretty good. I said, okay, let's do it, because right now... money is money.
Right.
And it's not illegal, nor is it. There's nothing. It's honest living. So I got a job from being a sales director to working at a burger joint. It was further out of L.A., so people didn't know me. But you want to know the name of it?
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
It's called Oinksters. Oinksters.
Uh-huh.
Like oink oink.
Uh-huh.
Oink 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 oink. Like a pig.
Yeah.
It's called Oinksters. So I went from, you know, being a sales director to asking people, you want to make that a combo?
Yeah, you want fries with that?
Do you want to make that a regular combo or oinkster combo?
Oh, my God.
Do you want the pastrami or you want the oinkster pastrami? You want the fries or you want the piggy fries? Oh, the piggy fries come with caramelized onions and Thousand Island dressing and cheese.
Sounds good.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, Oinksters is the best. You guys should go check it out. It's in Eagle Rock.
Really?
I still go
Where
back
Where the
there.
Hell is Eagle Rock?
I know, right? It's near Pasadena, kind of.
Really?
I was far enough out that I didn't know people, so I was like, nobody's going to know me. And then, like, the second day I was working, this comedian walks in that I used to do some work with, and I was like, oh, shit. I feel, because I wasn't used to it yet. I wasn't, like, that humbled yet. I was still kind of like, oh, I don't want to look like this girl. Whatever that meant. I guess it's my pride or whatever. So I went in the back near the refrigerator, and I just kind of stood there and looked like I was rubbing the refrigerator. I was like, rub, 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 scrub, scrub, scrub. And the manager, she said, could you go out there and, like, run food or take an order or something? Yeah. I said, listen, let me level with you. There's a guy here that knows me from a different industry. I really don't want to see him right now. Can you just stall for 5 minutes till he gets his burger and leaves? Mm-hmm. So I, like, avoided him. I hid behind the Coke machine and then didn't run any food. I just stayed busy. I bent down a lot to pick up stuff.
Right.
So my face wasn't seen.
I see.
But you know what? It's good to kind of get over that pride. It's good to kind of just say, you know what? I'll do anything I need to do.
Yeah.
And get over it.
That's true.
So those are my crazy jobs. Have you had any crazy jobs?
Crazy? I wouldn't say that. No, I wouldn't take anything. No, I mean, I worked in fast food when I was like 16 and shit, you know, and I hated it, you know.
Yeah.
Working in food is very difficult, very difficult, you know, and, you know, like working in a restaurant, any job like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but no, I never had like really crazy jobs or anything, you know, pretty square stuff, you know.
Good for you.
Yeah. Listen, let's call our guest.
Okay.
Okay, our guest today wrote a book called The Black Book. Okay, and this is about what he calls sampling, and this is like, I think he talks about sampling partners, like sexual partners and stuff.
Mm.
So I think you're gonna have a lot to say about this.
Well, we'll hear him before I take him to the cleaners.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I respect everybody. I just don't agree with everybody.
Yeah.
So let's.
That's
make
good.
It
Nobody agrees with everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to call Romaine Williams, and I have his website in front of me as well.
But you love this book, didn't you?
I didn't really read it. I didn't get the book. I just looked on the website. We didn't have enough time.
Hello?
Yes, good morning. Romaine?
Yes,
this is Sam and Kira calling you from
Hello.
LA Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. How's it going, Sam?
Good, good. Where are we calling you? Where are you residing?
I am actually hanging out in the lobby of a nice building downtown Bellevue.
Bellevue? Where is that?
Blackson, by the way. Bellevue's in Washington. It's right across Lake Washington
That's
from
right.
Seattle.
That's right. Okay, Bellevue. I've heard of that. Yeah.
In Washington?
Washington State.
Washington
yeah.
State. That's where I reside.
I see. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Wow.
So, listen, you wrote me the other day, and you introduced me to your new book, and I went online, and it looked pretty pretty interesting, a unique kind of a book. And you called it The Black Book, An Introduction to the Art of Sampling. So,
sampling,
obviously,
yeah.
The first question we have to ask you is, what is sampling?
Okay, well, sampling is when a person is in a primary relationship and they have a secondary relationship on the side. So some would call that, you know, cheating. Okay, or infidelity.
That's kind of what came to my mind. I like the spin you put on it, though.
I've created a euphemism for it, and it's called sampling. I feel that the word sampling is a little more descriptive. I think that it covers that a little better than the word cheating. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I talk about why I think the word cheating is a little is a mischaracterization of what the activity really is.
I see. So, and you're obviously talking about people in committed relationships and stuff, and then they simply try relationships with other people. Now, are you talking
exactly.
Right. So now, are you talking about cases like Tiger Woods, where he had like prolonged relationships with women, or is this something just like a fling or something?
Well, you know, it can be whatever it is to that person. You know, there's the temporary patch that someone has when there's the curiosity. You know, someone's curious about another person, and they act on that curiosity.
Right.
In the case of Tiger Woods, I think that what some people have said about him is true in the sense that he was living a double life, and he had these multiple relationships. His problem was that he was trying to really lead multiple relationships. Like, he did not separate the fantasy side of it from the reality. And the reality was that he's this superstar athlete, and that it would eventually get out because of his public standing.
Right.
I think that was the problem with him. For the average everyday guy, if they're a sampler, they should be able to, especially after reading my book, they should be able to live in a perpetual state of alibi and basically be able to avoid being caught.
Right.
In the act of
let me ask you, so being a sampler, I'm a sampler. Is that like the same thing as being like a player?
No, it's not the exact same thing.
You are quite eloquent. I must say, you are quite eloquent and articulate.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you are. I love the spin you're putting on this stuff, and I love it. You are entertainment, my friend. And I just want to know, I'm trying to be quiet so you can get out everything you need to say, and then I want to battle with you just for fun.
Okay, you're asking the questions. I'm not the one asking the questions.
Well, how about I sit back? I'm gonna let Sam ask the questions.
No, you go ahead and ask a question.
Well, I got way too many.
Well, go ahead. Start with someone.
Listen, here's the deal.
You gotta know that she's totally against like casual sex. You know, she's for like romantic relationships. So she's gonna challenge you on these things.
No, I mean, listen. I respect differences. I just don't agree all the time. So here we go. And this is also for listeners that have these questions as well, because I'm sure a lot of them do. So what motivated you personally to embark writing a book that would take, you know, casual sex or multiple relationships or, you know, and take it to this level of really kind of, you know, defining it and compartmentalizing it and making it digestible for people to see it in this light? What personally motivated you? What did you come across in your life that said, hey, I want to get this out there?
Mm. Well, I'm an observer. I like to I look at people watch. I think it's really enjoyable for me. So when I'm looking at the different situations in people's lives and relationships being one of the most stressful things in people's lives, besides money, and sometimes they mix, you know, people's personal relationships with their partner are so stressed. And there are a lot of people who actually have more than one relationship. You'd be surprised at the number of people who have more than one relationship. Keeping it a secret is not always easy for them. So I studied how can you possibly keep it a secret? What's the best way of keeping your secondary relationship under wraps? So I talk about. Go ahead.
No, you took this to a whole different level. See, I thought you were going to put a spin on it where you're like, it's consensual, so nobody gets hurt. I thought you were going to take that path, but you're actually helping people
No one gets hurt by the fact that it's not revealed.
Right.
That the deception is never revealed.
But it's still
so
deception.
That's where the protectionism comes in. That's where the sampler has an opportunity to do what he wants to do, he or she. In this case, I speak in the masculine in this book, but he or she can do what they want to do for themselves, and at the same time, you know, keep that information away from their partner, who may be involved in the idea of monogamy. I think of monogamy and marriage as almost a fantasy or a fairy tale or a myth, and I think that monogamy has a default place in society, and the funny thing about it is that, you know, I'm a little cynical, but, you know, I just don't really think that everyone wants to be in that type of relationship, but they have to because that's what we're told we have to do.
Listen, I understand where you're coming from. I think I understand where you're coming from. If not, you know, correct me. But my question for you is, you know, you said you're seeing these stresses in relationships and this, that, and the other, and you did say this is basically how to keep it private, just for yourself, and to not let the deception out. And you use the word deception because this is still it is still deceiving.
Right.
It's still deceiving, and you're not trying to cover that up. You're still saying, look, this isn't necessarily right, but this is the way to do it. Or are you saying it is right?
I'm not saying that it's wrong either, though.
Okay.
I'm not taking either road on that. I'm not saying that it's right or it's wrong. What I do say is wrong, and I will back this up in the book, and I mention it, is that the default place for monogamy, I think that's wrong, because the cloak of deception is the price that a sampler pays to sample. But sampling is the price that we all as a society pay for monogamy.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Why the hell get married and do it then? Nobody's holding a gun to people's heads. If you say, not just culturally, but if you say hey, you know what? I really don't want to do the house and the picket fence and leave it to Cleaver Beaver, and I don't want to do that. Why do it? I mean, I know there's a cultural expectation.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why people do it. A lot of people do that because that is based on the needs and the expectations that society places on us. If you live single your entire life, okay, I think there's some evidence out here to back this up, a single male will not enjoy the same standard of living as a married or a person that's in a relationship and living together. His standard of living will be much higher. So just for economical reasons, not even social and religious, but economical reasons, people link up and have partnerships. What happens is that we put our partnerships and our sexual lives in the same bucket. And so that's where the jealousy and the need for deception when you want to go out and do something else temporarily, that's when that comes in.
Right. So you're saying, I mean, you're drawing the difference, the line between marriage and romance and sex.
Well, there's a partnership aspect to marriage and not even just marriage, but just the relationship, if you want to call it that, when people live together or they're considered a couple. There's a partnership aspect there, and that's very beautiful. Everyone loves that partnership part. But sometimes you have to take into account the instinct that kicks in. When you're a human being, you may choose to go out and have, you know, other partners for, you know, a variety of reasons, which I cover in Chapter 2 of my book, Motive. You know, I talk about why samplers sample, and there's really 6 basic reasons, and I'm sure there are others, but instinct is the very number one reason. Mm. You know, I am 25 years old.
Right.
Okay, my libido is going to be, you know, just
You're 25?
Crazy.
You're 25?
Yeah, I'm 25 years old. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, for me, one woman is just not realistic, and that's just me personally. I think that a lot of people feel that way, and I think that a lot of people read my book, some out of curiosity, but some for the insights that it's going to provide.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is this, is that it's, you know, it's not an ideal world, and people do cheat, and they do this, and I think...
Sam.
Yeah.
Listen, my friend, listen, let's get down to business. What's her name?
Okay.
What's her name, and how'd she do you dirty? What's her name, and how'd she do you dirty? No. Don't
know
me.
Personal.
Listen. You got a sex drive. You're 25 years old. I get it. That's awesome. Keep it fired up.
I'm not a sampler.
Oh, you're not a sampler.
Based on the definition of sampler, no.
Because you're not.
Because a sampler hides his secondary relationships from his primary partner.
That's true. That's what you said.
I just wrote the book on sampling. I mean, how could I possibly be a sampler?
Right.
It's impossible.
Right.
Every woman I meet for the rest of my life is going to say, you know, okay, I know how you are, Romaine. I mean, and I think that that's part of the book is designed to get this out there so that people understand, hey, we live by artificial rules, and some of these rules are so silly, maybe we should reconsider them and think about the cost that we pay. To be, you know, to call ourselves monogamous people.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's the age-old question, you know, of whether monogamy does work or it doesn't work. And, again, like, they have that website for people who are looking for other people to cheat, like married people, attached people, and so forth. And, you know, and the thing is that it's not, you know, they figure...
That's a trap, by the way, Sam. I don't recommend people go to something like that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
I know. You put your picture up there and your profile and everything, and then your wife's going to figure out that, you know.
Exactly.
And then go and look up there and stuff. But no, the essence of it is people criticize that website as though it encourages cheating. But the point is people are going to do it anyway, so they figure they'll just help you find someone.
You guys, I'm sorry. I've got to interject. Roman, listen. I got to interject. We're going to have to take this to a deeper level, and it may piss you off, but that's okay. You ready?
Okay,
here we go. Here's the deal.
He can take it. He's
cool.
25.
I like Roman. I actually like Roman. I think he's cool and funny. I like
Romaine.
Romaine, I'm sorry. Yeah. Romaine, like the lettuce. Anyway.
Yes, lettuce.
Here's the deal. Let's get to the heart of what we're talking about. Let's get to the heart of it. Monogamy. Physically, biologically, it's not natural for men. And I understand
that. It's not natural for some men.
For some men. Okay.
For some men it is.
Okay, you're right. Spiritually, and emotionally, it is natural. We're divided as humans because we're not just animal, okay? There's a lot of instincts that we have as humans that if we acted on this, we'd have complete craziness and chaos. That's mine. I don't want to share. Do you know you don't have to teach a child how to not share? A child instinctually knows, mine, I'm not going to share. It has to learn generosity. Another example is if everything was just survival of the fittest and any instinct I had, I acted on, we would steal, we would cheat all the time. And not that those things don't exist, it's just it would be completely...
You're assuming that humans are bad. It's just inherently bad.
But I'm saying there's parts of us. No. I'm saying there's parts of us. There's instincts that we have that aren't good. There are bad instincts that we have. And I'm trying to say that because...
But good and bad is a judgment, you know? I mean, it's according to you, it's good or bad.
You think there's some... Killing people is right?
No, I'm not saying that.
But I'm saying there's an instinct. We have instincts to kill people sometimes, that we don't do it.
I definitely don't agree with that one.
Right. No, I'm just saying, recognizing... Just hear me out. Romain, recognizing the fact that all of our instincts do not always produce... the right things if we acted on them all the time. And now I'm not saying having a sex drive and having curiosity is wrong or anything like that, but I'm saying we live in a culture as well that if you want it, you can have it and figure out a way to do it, and there's really no consequences. Everything has a price. Everything has a price. And I think the heart of what we're talking about is somebody that wants his cake and wants his cake and eat it too without any sacrifice, and trying to figure out a way to do that. And the reality is that this is about, to me, this is utter selfishness. It's utter selfishness.
Okay, but it
doesn't
happen.
I don't disagree with you. I think that you're right. But we live in an individualistic society, and I think that more and more people are going to look at their self-interest and say, you know what, I want to enjoy my love life with more than this one person. Now, I appreciate this person, and I don't want to lose that person. Selfish. And I know that this person is obsessed with the concept of monogamy, so I'm going to let that person believe that monogamy, okay, we're in a monogamous relationship, whatever. When we're together, we're monogamous, right? Right. But I also have my own personal ambitions and my own personal likes and dislikes and whatnot, and I'm going to go ahead and act on those. And I think that that's okay. I think that that's okay. And I wrote a book advocating that it's okay. Now, in my book, which is The Black Book, for everyone listening, an introduction to the art of sampling, available at www.readtheblackbook.com. Okay. Uh-huh. In my book, I talk about how hard it is to actually sample, though. It's not easy. It's right. Not like something you could just go out and do. If you make a mistake, that's it. You're done. You're caught. It's over.
Right.
So... not like some simple, oh, okay, let's go do it. I mean, Tiger Woods is a great example. He's our biggest example right now. But, you know, David Letterman, he got caught up, you know, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. blackmail. You know, he ended up having to admit to his infidelity.
Right.
You don't want to ever have to be there. If you're a sampler and this is what you do as part of who you are, you don't want that criticism from society. Now, one day we may not have that same criticism. You know, one day we may have a society that looks at monogamy like an option, like, oh, if that's what you want to do, and then there's going to be more alternative ways of living as far as partnerships
right.
and relations. But right now, we live in a monogamous society. So, I mean, if you have an urge, or if it's your desire to have more than one person in your life and to express love and to love.
Is that really love? Are you really trying to express your love? Is that really what you just have so much love
no,
you're trying to express?
There's definitely love involved. It's not that you don't love your primary partner. You do love your primary partner.
No, but I'm talking about all the other partners. Not the one you got fooled thinking you're in a monogamous relationship that you really love her. I'm talking about
it's not that you're fooling that person. It's
yeah,
that that person... cannot know that knowledge because
you called it deception.
That's not good.
You don't want your
primary relationship to disappear because you were inept and because you weren't paying attention.
It's called this. You called it deception yourself, and so yeah, you are fooling her to think that this is monogamy so that you can have your cake and eat it too. Hey, it to each his own, I guess, but. Also, what's the drive to go out and sample? Is it because you need more love? It's not about love. Is that love?
Everyone has their own reasons. No, and it is love.
Are you kidding me?
I beg to differ with that. I do believe there is serious love involved, because you don't have to just love one person. Where do we come up with this idea that we only are allowed to love one person? I call it loving like a laser. Like, the sun doesn't shine light just on Earth. It shines light in every direction, and we can love in every direction. We don't have to just focus our love in on one person, and that's actually kind of stressful to only focus your love in on one person, because think of all the other people out there who want love and want to be loved, and they can't because everyone's stuck in this little box of monogamy. Now, not everyone is going to be interested in the opposite of monogamy.
Right.
You know, not everyone is polyamorous, but some people are, and unfortunately, we live in a society where if you're going to live like that, you're an outcast. And most people don't want to be an outcast, so they'll just pretend to go along with monogamy, and they'll live a
secret
double life.
Move to L.A. There's no outcasts on that. what you're saying is not innovative when it comes to every lifestyle. That you can find anybody in this society to affirm your lifestyle.
Read the book. I'm sure you'll find a couple of innovations in there somewhere. It's pretty detailed.
Sounds good.
Okay, everybody go to readtheblackbook.com, and there's excerpts from the book and a little bio on Romaine. And, look, I think men and women are going to look at this differently like we always have. And, you know, I just want to say, Kira, that I think people are stuck in some relationships where there is no love.
I agree.
And they look for it somewhere else, you know. And,
I agree.
Yeah, so that's the point. It's not, you know, as perfect as we would like it to be, you know. So, you know, I don't know. I think in that case, at least it makes sense. It's not that I condone it, but I can understand it. You know?
Well, and I understand where he's
coming
from, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fair way to look at it, Sam, is that you don't have to necessarily like it, but guess what? It's here. It's real. And my book basically covers it from an aspect that's probably never been covered before. Because usually when people write books about infidelity, there's this apologetic tone to it. Oh, infidelity's bad. How do we recover after the affair? Well, my book's not like that.
Right, right.
It takes a different angle.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, kudos to you for putting together a book like this and stuff. I mean, I would read it, you know.
Of course you'd read it.
Yeah, I would read something like this.
Of course you would read it, Sam. It's totally up your alley. I'm not saying you would do it. I'm just saying you find it fascinating. And Romaine, you're an interesting guy. You're young and you're very articulate.
Yeah, well, that's what helped him write a book, I'm sure.
Because he can speak.
I'll be running for president in about 40 years, by the way.
Are you really?
There you go.
Well,
there you go.
You might want to ditch the book.
Okay, Romaine Williams, everybody. And the website, again, is readtheblackbook.com. Go ahead.
Readtheblackbook.com. Quick shout out to Studio 5 Creative. Thank you for creating my website. It's beautiful. www.readtheblackbook.com. And thanks for the opportunity, Sam, Kara.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
take care.
Be
and
good.
All the best to you.
You just hung up.
No, well, you know, that's radio, you know. You got to hang up at a certain point.
And there's a thing. It was interesting, though. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk show. Your 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Show you. are open on Sam and Karen in the morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, so that was the Black Book.
Interesting.
Yes, you had a lot to say.
Of course.
Which is good.
That's why you hired me. Put me on the radio.
Yes, exactly.
I don't go along.
And you
get
have
along.
To understand that men are different. You know, that's the bottom line.
Listen, I've
but
heard it all.
Not to say that women don't cheat. I mean, obviously, these men have to have, you know, they have to have someone, right, to have that relationship with.
Yeah.
So I think women do it, obviously not as much.
I think they do it for different reasons. It's interesting because I've heard it said that, you know, women cheat for different reasons and men cheat for different reasons. Like, so right. If the man cheats, I've heard it said, he doesn't cheat because of the wife. It's mm-hmm. because of his own issues.
Right.
Whereas when the woman cheats, it tends to be because of the husband. I'm not saying it's his fault.
That makes sense.
But like she's not feeling loved or getting something, and it doesn't make it right, but you know, there's something she's not getting from her husband, and instead of working through it or whatever, she's going elsewhere.
But what about a husband that doesn't get enough sex, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
It does have to do with the wife.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
true.
If she's the one that, you know, doesn't want it.
But I think usually with men, and I don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that they tend to cheat because of something else, like entitlement. There's something that they want, like the grass is greener. Part of it has to do with their ego, their masculinity.
Yeah, I think for both sexes, it's entitlement, you know? I mean,
well, in a way, I think in a way, there's an indirect, that's indirectly true, because, I mean, any time you're going after your own needs at the cost of other people, there's a sense of, like, you need it, you're entitled, you're going to get it, right?
Right.
So I can't really argue that, but I would say that there is maybe with, you know, with men, it's like you see more of a sense of, it's not even so much about sex. It's mm-hmm. about the conquest and the game. And a lot of times what happens is people are so attracted to, quote unquote, the forbidden fruit feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that it is wrong, the fact that they could get caught. It's exciting.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it can cause a lot of, you know, physical and sexual stimulus for people.
Yeah. Obviously.
I don't know. Yeah. Have you? Can we talk about that with you? Have you ever cheated?
Who, me?
Yeah.
First of all, if I did, I would never admit to it.
Oh, really?
But I never would. I've had opportunities over my during my life to do that, but I'm proud to say I never have. Never cheated on anyone. I just I don't think I could live with it, and I tend to agree with you that if you're not happy where you are, mm-hmm. don't stay there, you know? I mean, first leave the first relationship. And then go on to others.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I've experienced the temptation to want to...
Yeah, I just think the pain that you put your partner through is unfair.
Yeah, you know? I think so too.
You know?
And, you know, it is a free... you know, you have the freedom to do that. You know, it's like...
You do have the freedom to do that, but you have to draw the line somewhere, you know? And for some people, it's not there, you know? And... but, you know, it happens all the time. And I know that women cheat... quite a bit as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know if it's for the reasons that you mentioned.
I'm just saying,
but
maybe.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's so many reasons we can't really generalize on that, you know.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, well, okay.
For fun.
I don't know. I just can't help but think how much you're losing out.
Who, me?
Yes.
I think about how much.
I mean, you've yeah. I mean,
I think
look,
about how much
look,
I'm
you've
sparing myself.
You've
I'm
participated
crazy.
In some sex and stuff, but for the most part, you're wasting your years.
Sam.
Yeah.
I just went to a Persian crazy party and was on Persian television with the top people, sang lip syncing, ate great food. I'm not really missing out on much. I'm living more life than most people that are getting laid every night.
Mm.
My happy factor is, I mean, I've been in some of the craziest, brokest stages of my life, and my happy factor is through the roof.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
So I got to tell you, like, I'm not missing out. Whereas, you know, people are like, I think people idolize sex, too, and make it something it really isn't. And I love sex, but I'm just saying, mm-hmm. it's not going to make you happy and make everything great. And you're not going to have this adventurous, amazing life because you're getting laid.
Like, you don't know that. You don't know that.
Listen, man, I get where you're going at with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think it's the idea that somebody's not participating in the same lifestyle that makes other people feel a sense of like, why aren't they doing that? Let me just try to convince them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, you know, if I wasn't happy,
right?
You know what I mean? If I was like really not joyful and not happy and didn't have peace about it, then yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's something I needed to incorporate.
Yeah.
But because I feel like, you know, I do have those things. I don't really see the need to, you know, because I know how I want it. I want it in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wake up to the man I'm married to.
Mm-hmm.
And then do it again.
Okay.
And do it again and again and again. Woo, 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 woo. Yeah. Why not?
And until then, you're just putting yourself through. Well, obviously, it doesn't bother you. So that's the bottom line. You know,
if it doesn't bother you. It's not like it comes easy, but it's like, you know, the more you condition yourself, the more you're like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
I'm a human, just like everybody else.
Although I don't get the why, but, you know.
I just think it really bums you out. I see it all over your face. You're like, why aren't you screwing and having tons of awesome sex?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, but you could be with one guy and have great sex. You know, you don't have to wait for marriage. You know, that's what I think. What can I tell you? I'm not saying that everybody should have one-night stands and casual sex. It's not for everybody.
No, and I mean, I know what you're saying, and I'm no puritanical virgin here. I mean, I've been in monogamous relationships where we did do it, and it was great. There was some really great, great sex involved, and yeah, I mean, like, awesome.
Right.
But at the same Sam is like, he just wants me to go on.
Because if it was awesome, I would want to do it again and again and again.
You do. Sex is made to be addictive.
Yeah.
Sex neurologically makes it addictive.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's a bodily function that we have, you know, urges that we do just like eating and drinking and, you know, sleeping. I think it's part of us. We're sexual beings.
Yeah.
And we can't get away from that. You know,
yeah.
We just put certain rules on that. And but look, you know, I mean, I don't think with casual sex there's any victims. I mean, you started equating it to murder and things like that. It's not the same, you know.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the same.
I mean,
I wasn't using sex to illustrate the comparison as though it's murder. I'm just saying not every instinct that we have is good. And I'm not saying, you know, I've heard it said this way. We have legitimate needs, but we seek them in illegitimate ways.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, it's not that having a sex drive is bad or sex is bad. It's not about that. It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's consequences to doing it in a way that hurts other people, that can possibly hurt yourself. And I talked about this before.
But you're talking about hurting other people. That's what I'm saying. I mean, sex doesn't have to be. Casual sex does not have to be about hurting people.
I'm talking about people that, well, what happens when you do have casual sex and it's consenting and one person's attached and they want more.
Right.
From you, and you don't want that.
So that happens all the time with different things.
That
happens in marriage just the same.
Yeah, but they're not hurt. They're not hurt. They're hurt. I'm not saying they're a victim. I'm not saying that they were victimized, but I'm saying, listen.
But you've given me a totally different example. What I'm saying to you is you have a single woman, okay, and she meets a guy. They go to bed. They have a great time, and then they maybe do it a couple more times, and that's it. You know, I mean, it's not like
Sam,
nobody's
wake
getting
up.
Hurt.
Wake
by
up!
This.
No, wake
I'm
up!
I'm totally awake.
Yeah, totally. No, I'm saying maybe not for you,
right.
Maybe not for the woman, but there's usually one person involved who maybe signs up for it and says, "Sure, I can do this." But then something in them wants more. Wants to be with that person and now feels neurologically a little off because it's been proven that sex is a whole body and neurological brain experience and they're feeling rejected, they're feeling abandoned, they're feeling senses of I want to be with this person, I want more, and the other person's like I'm done. So no, they're not being victimized like they're being raped or they're being mutilated or something like that, but there's a sense of that person, it may not be you, but it may be the other person that is feeling something and now feels hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I really rarely, I mean, if people were to get honest, really honest, and I don't know everybody and I'm sure there's tons of circumstances out there, but rarely do I ever meet somebody that two people are mutually and consenting to one thing and down the road one person isn't more invested and one person stands to lose more.
Well, maybe they are, but the thing is that happens in relationships without sex too. You know, I mean, you might meet someone and then you want it more than they do. You know, I mean, you'd be hurt just the same. I don't think the sex has anything to do with it. You know, and
well,
but you know, I mean, look, it's you know, it's, again, I respect what you feel and stuff. I just think you're missing out a lot. And that's just my opinion, you know. I mean, well, what can I tell you? But if you don't feel that you're missing out, then it's a moot point, you know.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll keep you posted.
Let me know.
when I start getting back in here, shut her drop it to the ground like she ain't got lettuce. That's a rap song. It's all about, like... Anyway,
what was that?
Oh my gosh, it's a great rap song. Should I drop it to the ground like she ain't got lettuce? Too much booty for one man to handle. All I need is a one night scandal. I'm gonna get back in here. Oh man, little mama. And it's a great song.
Yeah, don't get into rap though.
No, it's not my thing. But no, I love. It's a fun dance song.
Yeah.
No, I'll let you know when that rap song starts becoming my life. I'll let you know and I'll keep you posted and I'll blog. How about I blog about it?
I don't know.
I'll tweet about it.
Yeah.
I'll have some tweet updates.
Now, what happens if you don't meet someone till you're like 38, 40?
Oh, God.
You know, I mean, you're that age and you haven't found anyone.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to kill myself. Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
you're not a human being anymore.
Missed out half your life on not having sex.
Dude,
terrible.
Women's sexual peak doesn't even happen. Their sexual peak doesn't even happen until they're like mid to late 30s.
That is bullshit.
That's not bullshit.
That's bullshit. I know women that are in their 20s and they love sex.
No, it's not that they don't love sex, but women physically, biologically, and sexually peak
okay.
later on in life.
I mean, but that doesn't mean anything. You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean like, so when I'm 38, I'm going to be dried up and don't want to do it.
No, you'll want to do it. All I'm saying is at that point, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? You know, you haven't met someone. You're hungry for sex and stuff. Just like you said, you're going to be at your peak. You'll be dying for sex. You haven't met anyone. What are you going to do then? I mean, half your life has been spent already not having sex.
I feel honestly that you worship sex and it has a place that I don't worship sex. It's not why I live. So guess what? You know what? It may be hard and it may suck in some way.
Worshipping is too strong a word, I think.
Well, I think people, the way worship is basically, it's not like, oh, you're bowing down to it and you're like having a freaking ritual. It's about what takes up the most of your attention.
Mm-hmm.
What constantly is the thing that you're the most desirous and it takes up all your attention.
Right.
And that's ultimately.
I would say 99% of the men would say sex.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, as society, too, I think. You know, movies, everything, it doesn't have a rightful place. It has this weird pedestal repression and then also this weird, like, you know, whatever. But no, going back to your question, I mean, who knows? I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But I know that I'm not living for it. I'm living for God.
Right.
And even when I don't want to live for God, I always, you know, if I get off track, I come back to the Lord. Like, I'm just, that's why I'm living. That's why I'm breathing. I didn't create myself. He's the reason I'm here. And ultimately, if that's the way my life goes, guess what? I just don't look at this earth as everything. I don't see this as my home.
Right.
Like, ultimately, I can walk across the street today and die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything can happen.
So
nothing's guaranteed to me. The only thing
right, but how do you know you're going anywhere after this? And you're not just worm food.
Worm?
Worm food.
Well, I have nothing to really lose, to be honest.
That's true.
And I really believe...
You are losing out on a lot. You're not living fully this life.
Sam, it sounds like I think God meant
for us to fully enjoy this life.
Why does this bother you more than it bothers me? Because that's more interesting.
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. It just makes me curious. That's all. I mean, I can't wrap my mind around it.
You're stressed out by it. You're a little stressed, and
okay.
I think it's kind of cute, but my point is there's something going on.
I'm not stressed by it. I'm not stressed by it. I just, you know, I've never... The thing is this, is that I think... Okay, what I think is... You want to know what I really think? I think invoking God's name is a cop-out. That's what I think.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Of course you do. I think everything
because
you think is... I mean, and when it comes to God stuff, I think it's a little bit of a...
Not at all. And I told you, I'm a big believer in God, but not in religion. I don't subscribe to religion, okay? But as far as this ultimate force out there, I'm the first one. I'm the first one to...
Tell me how I'm using God in sex as a cop-out. Go.
Not God, but religion, I think. Okay? And by saying...
What is that? How am I using...
Religion is an institution. God is not.
You're right, and I agree with you. And I personally told you I believe in Christian spirituality, not religion. And I don't think you understand the difference.
No, but the thing is, in Christianity, they tell you what you can and cannot do.
Nobody's telling me, Jack, I'm reading the Bible, and I'm reading what I believe, and that's where I'm getting it. I don't go to anybody to tell me how to live my life for God, because guess what? It says in the Bible, it says Christ is the ultimate intercessor. What I'm saying with that is that God is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to commune with us, and he wants to have a living, active relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
It's not go to a third party to reach God. Mm-hmm. He's our maker. We're his creation. So
right. There's
not this I have to be told what to do. You know, I don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe in, yeah, you have support, you commune, you fellowship, but at the end of the day, when you lay your head down on your pillow, it can't be your parents' faith. It can't be the faith that you were taught and shoved in your mouth and your cereal growing up as a kid. It can't be because it's popular. It has to be something that's living, active, and personal
right. Between
you and God.
But, you know, someone interpreted for you that God wants you not to have sex when you're not married.
I believe, and I read it myself.
But that's what I'm saying. Something that other people wrote.
Listen, I told you again, this is where we disagree, is that I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Yes, men physically wrote it and had a pencil in their hand or whatever, chalk or clay or a tablet.
Right.
But I do believe that the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the Lord transcends human error.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, you know, spiritually it makes sense. Biologically it makes sense to me. And in many ways it makes sense, but it doesn't always have to make sense. And I do believe, though, that... You know, this isn't something that I'm being oppressed by. Nobody's oppressing me, and nobody's putting it on. I think it's hard maybe to grasp, but this is a personal choice that I believe, and it is embedded in my heart, not because I went to some freaking camp and had to sign my blood on the dotted line or something, or you know, it's not like that. And I know that's how Christianity is painted, because there's a lot of this cultural hoorah and everybody get on the same board and everybody say the same thing and everybody look the same way and everybody use the same spiritual quote-unquote jargon. So sometimes what you really believe is lost in the stigma, but the reality is it's very personal. And that's the way it should be for everybody. It should be personal,
right?
You know. But I mean, so I don't see using God as a cop-out. I'm just saying that's what I believe, and I'm ultimately striving, although I don't always do it, but I am striving to live my life for God and His purpose and His plan for my life.
Right, right. I just, you know, I think more based on belief, we're supposed to live based on understanding, you know? And I don't know. I mean, this idea of blind faith and just follow the Word of God and all that stuff, I think that was meant for people that were a lot less sophisticated than we are. You know, that's when religion...
Are we so sophisticated?
I think... Well, it depends. Relatively, yes. You know, I mean, because today we understand what earthquakes are, we understand what tornadoes are, and all these things. Back then, people didn't understand that. They had
to. So what's that to do with morality?
It has to do with inventing something to keep people in line.
Hey, religion, again, is used to manipulate and have power over people.
Right.
Okay, I'm not talking about religion.
Right.
Because
if you're talking about the Bible, you're talking about religion.
That's not true. Religion, just because the Bible, okay, is spiritual and alive. But the way it's used, if it's used in a way where people, first of all, there's churches that don't even go off the Bible, or they don't even let you read it, but they say, no, we've got it, we understand, listen to us. And that is religion and manipulation.
What kind of religion is that? I never heard of that one.
Well, I don't want to start saying sex, because I know that it's not every human in the sect of that Christianity, but there are, you know, faiths that they don't really endorse having an independent relationship with God. It's all about the community, and it's all about what the priest says or what you're told. When you go and you pick it up yourself and you read it yourself and you pray and you start to develop faith and beliefs, and it's not because anybody is enforcing or controlling you.
Right.
I mean, even the Bible is many people interpret it many different ways.
Exactly. But, and that's what I'm asking. Where in the Bible does it say God doesn't want you to have sex unless you're married?
There's several places. I mean, there's several places. It's in the Torah. If you took the first five books, the Pentateuch, of the Bible, which is what Judaism is based on, it's in your own faith.
It's not there. It's not there.
Yeah,
it's
it is. Go to Genesis. Go to the book of Genesis.
Okay, and what does it say?
The book of Genesis says that a man will leave his family and cleave unto his wife, and they will be one flesh. Mm-hmm. And what God put together, let no man separate. And it talks about a lifelong mating and monogamy, and says that there. It also goes through the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and talks about how, you know, anything outside of marriage is, you're defiling the marriage bed. You are violating God's will and God's law. I mean, it's in your own
But that's
faith.
What I'm saying. But this is, again, stuff that people wrote, and maybe we don't agree on that, but when someone writes that thing to keep me in line, it's not something that I'm going to subscribe to.
Well, you don't have to do anything.
Right.
Nobody's making Sam
right.
do
That's
anything.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you're going to talk about the Bible, and then you're going right. to talk about the legitimacy of it, and then mm-hmm. you're going to talk about where is it, I'm going to tell you where it is. I'm also going to tell mm-hmm. you that where it is in your Jewish background and faith that you okay. obviously don't
well,
know.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, so it's even in your faith. I mean, you yeah. can take it up with other Jewish believers.
That's what I'm saying. It's in the faith. It's in the religion. Okay? I don't subscribe to it. I mean, I'm proud of being a Jew because of the heritage, of the history and mm-hmm. stuff, not because of the Bible.
Well, clearly.
You know?
Clearly.
I mean, look, and I want you to understand one thing. I'm a big fan of the Bible. Okay? I've read it a few times. I enjoy it a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay? But the thing is that I'm always going to be convinced that it was written by people mm-hmm. to keep people in line.
Okay.
And I think it's a good thing because without law, you know, people go and do and there's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I do agree with that. But the bottom line is I don't think we were meant by the God that I understand
mm-hmm.
that gave us sexual organs
mm-hmm.
and libido
mm-hmm.
And it's free, for crying out loud. You know, it doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're meant to use it.
Well, you know? I wouldn't agree. I mean, I do agree with what you're saying. I just think there's a context. And mm-hmm. it goes back to... We're talking about sexuality, and then we're talking about the context of sex, and we're talking about what we believe, and we're talking about now the legitimacy of what we believe. And I'm just kind of recapping.
Right.
And the real crux of where you and I are coming from is you have a different view of God than I do.
Right.
And you have a different way of how you seek God and what you believe is true.
Right.
As do I.
Right.
And so I'm not really trying to coerce you nor convince you to
right.
believe the way I do.
Right.
Explain
it to me
yeah,
the way you do.
I'll appeal to your heart and I'll mm-hmm. appeal to your understanding and comprehension of kind of like, well, does this really make sense? Let's get the heart of it. But at the end of the day, if you don't believe it, then you don't believe it.
Right.
Whereas I do believe that the Bible is the Word of God.
Right.
So, you know, just as I'm not really trying to force you or convince you, nor
right.
should you, because you need to understand that this is the way I do believe it, and it's because of a personal decision.
But I understand that.
You keep trying to say that there's some religious element that's kind of forced me or force-fed it to
me. I didn't think forced you is the right word, but influenced you.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
And that's okay. That's your opinion, but I'm
yeah.
just telling you that this is a spiritual and personal decision that mm-hmm. I've made.
Okay.
That, you know, and I think if you really truly do believe, it's something that does have to be personal.
Yeah.
Or you're not really believing it.
Mm.
It's just... go along to get along.
Okay, if you say so.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, at any rate, what I'm reading here is that there were three strong earthquakes in Chile again.
Last
night. You know, like a 7.2 or something, and just as the country was swearing in a new president.
Are you serious?
You know, can you imagine?
Last night?
Recently. Probably last night, this morning. No, this morning, because they're showing actually pictures of the parliament and stuff where people were there to swear in the president, you know. So, yeah, three earthquakes, man.
Three, right back. I mean, is that considered like the same earthquake or like...
Maybe aftershocks or whatever, but they're saying there was a 6.9 at 11 in the morning and followed by 6.7 16 minutes later and then a 6.0... 27 minutes later. So, yeah, I mean, those are they are considering the aftershocks of the first one that happened in February.
That's high.
Yeah.
That's high. How many? What was the Richter scale for the Northridge?
Northridge. You keep asking me that, and I don't remember. I think it was 7.0.
Yeah, it was like rough.
Yeah.
So, what is the cap?
I mean, these are pretty high. You know, when you get to the sevens,
That's
pretty
really
high.
So, did the what was the what's the damage look like? As far as is it rural or is it like you know in the city or?
Yeah, it happened everywhere. I suppose. Let's see. The epicenter was where? I saw it somewhere here. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, the thing is, they felt it there, and that is pretty lousy, man. The epicenter was 95 miles of the capital of Santiago. Wow.
Wow.
I don't know, man. It really scares me if we get earthquakes here. You know, I mean, the thing is, if we get a big one here, that's going to be pretty scary. You know, and we don't think it could happen and stuff, but think about it. You know, I mean, there's no warnings. There's no anything. And it just comes out of the blue and it happens. And the destruction is in a few seconds, you know. And then you spend years fixing everything again.
You know, there's nothing guaranteed, man.
Yeah.
There's really nothing guaranteed. Anything can happen.
Yeah. Now, why does God allow so many people to die?
You know, he hasn't emailed me that answer recently. I've been waiting to get back to
him. So we can't pretend to understand, right?
No, you can try. I think it's good to try to wrestle with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good to ask questions and go through it. I mean, I have different ideas.
Right.
But you know, I don't think that we get all the whys. I just, like I said before, we don't live in a perfect state, in a perfect place. So I think that there's a lot of things that are a necessity
mm-hmm.
for reasons that are much, much bigger.
Right.
That we'll never get the answer to.
So you think the Holocaust was a necessity as well in the biggest scheme of things?
I don't know. I don't think it was a necessity to kill that many people, but did good things possibly come out of it? Yes.
Right.
But
that's what I'm saying. That's why I tell you that I don't think that God intervenes, because I think from God's perspective, he pretty much let people dictate what was happening.
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, I definitely agree that, you know, God didn't make Hitler do this. I don't believe that
right.
at all. I think that was...
But he could, let's say he could have intervened and stopped, but you can't, because God doesn't do that.
To say he doesn't or can't do something, I think it's...
No, I didn't say can't. I said doesn't.
Well,
I've
heard of stories where people, even in the Holocaust, where some miraculous things happened where they were able to escape. And it was the smaller independent stories where people had these unexplainable ways that they got away and things like that.
Right,
but I mean,
right.
does that mean that God intervened and stopped the whole Holocaust? No.
Right.
But does that mean God's not present in it and working in maybe some of the lives of people? I mean, look at Schindler's List mm-hmm. and look at how he, you know, was successful in able to saving so many Jews as well. I mean, not compared to the amount that were slaughtered, but there were still these stories of hope that took place inside of that. And it's still evil, it's still awful, and it's disgusting and a tragedy. And at the same time, I do believe that God is still there and present. I mean, one of the things we know through the spread of the gospel is that, you know, it's unfortunate, but that a lot of the spreading of the gospel happens under persecution. So
mm-hmm.
Not that you need it, but that people, when they see people that are going through the hard times in life,
mm-hmm.
it's not the mountaintop, it's the hard times in life, and you see that person, even though it's hard, you see them have peace
mm-hmm.
and some kind of joy. It doesn't mean that they're happy and that it's easy, but there's a sense of a peace and determination
mm-hmm.
and humility and love.
Right.
And you see that under the awful circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that that rings true in people and is inspiring, and I think multiplies and produces more love. Whereas it's easy to kind of have a good life when you're never challenged, you never experience loss, and everything's just kind of like coasting along.
Right.
And I'm not saying we need these things, but I mean, I do see that as some of the results
mm-hmm.
that happen through tragedy. I mean, look at 9/11. I mean, it was awful, and it still is awful. But New York, and not just New York, but the country, I mean, we kind of all shared the same life
mm-hmm.
for those first few weeks.
Right.
And it brought a sense of community
mm-hmm.
and it brought a sense of people gave their life. I mean, people were coming together for like the common goal. Like
right.
there was a human connection, and it's awful. It doesn't say, well, let's just have tragedy all the time, so we're connected. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, does God possibly allow, maybe not cause, but
mm-hmm.
allow certain things to happen
right.
because other good things can come out of it? It's a question I have. I'm not
right.
saying that is the answer.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I just don't know the answer for what good comes out of 6 million people dying, but, you know.
I don't know.
What do I know, right?
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I really don't. I really don't claim to have an answer on that. And I think it's such a, you know, I've had a lot of friends that's one of their hugest stumbling blocks with,
mm-hmm.
with God is, you
right.
know, hey, I love the whole idea of God, but what about suffering?
Right.
What about...
But you know what? I have to tell you, and I don't remember exactly where it was. I think in Deuteronomy or something, but I always remember this because there's a description there where God tells the Israelites, you know,
mm-hmm.
that if you don't follow the word of God, then this and this and this is going to happen to you. You're going to be in chains, and the eagle's going to come and... blah, blah, blah. I can't even paraphrase it. But the point is that it described pretty much to me
mm-hmm.
the Holocaust and how it happened, you know? And, you know, with you know, it was predicting it would be you'll be enslaved by people whose language you don't understand, and, you know, and all
well,
these things.
Well, it could be. It could have been
and
the
so
Egyptian.
I think, you know, I mean, for God, I think it's not a big deal, death or life, you know. I mean, the thing is that it matters to us. But if you, like what you say, that death is actually the door to something better or whatever, then it's, from God's perspective, it's not a bad thing.
Well, I think God is big on evil, and I think he's big on what's right and wrong. I think he's right. really big on that. But, I mean, as far as this being our only life,
mm-hmm.
I think that, yeah, God does look at that differently. But there are consequences when we do purposely and willfully, not out of ignorance, but when we purposely and willfully turn away from God and not follow him or seek him, there mm-hmm. are consequences. But at the same time, God is loving and merciful. It's a very interesting dichotomy, because I don't think that all suffering is related to sin. Mm-hmm. I don't think all natural disasters and all disease is because somebody did the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
We live in God is gracious. At the same time, though, yeah, there are consequences when we are purposely not seeking God and we're running away from him. There, mm-hmm. there's just natural, like you said, built-in consequences, and I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just think it's a mystery. I think it's really mysterious, mm-hmm. and you know, the way we respond to it, it's going to be different for everybody. But I hopefully through tragedy, and I mean, I can speak for my own life, when things are tighter and harder, and mm-hmm. I don't see a way out. And I've definitely been, I've actually, you know, without going into all my stuff, I've been in a situation for a while where I'm just like, okay, something's got to change.
Mm.
And it's been very, very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And it's like one day's up and one day's down. And it doesn't seem, it's very inconsistent. And the thing that I can say is I'm challenged in my faith
mm-hmm.
in the hard times. And I find an opportunity in those times to really give glory to God, even just in the privacy of my own heart,
mm-hmm.
in my car driving,
right.
to go, God, I know you're there, even though I don't feel you right now, even though I don't see you, I know you're with me, and I know that, you know, I don't have total control of the situation,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that whatever's going to happen, like, you're with me. And just trying to just still honor God in the dark times.
Right.
And it's not easy, but it's like, I do feel that, even, and believe that, you know what? He balances burdens with blessings.
Mm-hmm.
I do, in whatever way. I mean, you know, I do believe that.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds good. Well, I think we've given God his due today, huh?
Well.
Okay, we're going to here I go again with this. I get the wrong fader. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station. Talk station.
Euro Trash Rock. Let's get back. Let's get back to Sam and Kara in the morning. Kara in the morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
That's some heavy rock shit.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Definitely different from the Eurotrash that he claims we play.
He's so funny. He's a funny dude, man.
So it's almost the weekend.
Almost the weekend!
And we have nice weather here, but do you believe how cold it's been at night?
It's been... I actually think it's been kind of chilly even during the day.
Yeah, during the day too.
Even, but it's sunny. It's kind of an interesting combination, but you know, it's like you go outside, it's like you better work out right away, start getting the heat in your body going because you think or you need to be in a really big patch of sun.
Yeah. It's very unusual, you know, because I mean, we're almost spring is like March 22nd or something.
Yeah, hunting
season. Yeah, there you go. Hunting for men.
Yeah, that's sending a shout out to our friend Elle, who wrote
Hunting Season,
how to find and capture the perfect mate. She was funny, too.
Mate or man, I think.
Man.
It's for women, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what book we're going to have next week is, I just got it from them. And I thought it'd be something that people are concerned with. It's called Never Look Fat Again, you know. And first I thought
that's
it's
hysterical.
Diets and stuff. I thought it's diets and stuff, but it's actually the way that you dress.
Oh, okay.
She teaches you how to dress so you don't look fat, you know, not be fat, but don't look fat. So
that's always good.
I figured I could use it too myself, yeah, a little bit, you know, just learn how to dress.
Because you're
and
so
stuff.
Fat.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, believe me, I see things in my body that people don't see, you know, like my belly and stuff. You know that most people are not happy about their belly? You know, if you ask people like what their number one body part that they don't like.
Yeah, it's where you get your little chunks.
Yeah.
Your little chubs and yubs. That's where it kind of collects, huh?
Yeah. Well, it depends where you are, yeah. I mean, or who you are, because some people it collects in different places, you know? Like if I gain weight, I get it immediately in my face, you know?
Oh.
That's the first place I see it. So it's like an early warning.
Are you concerned with your weight? You look fine.
No, but I mean, look, I'm not concerned with the way I look, but I definitely don't want to gain weight, you know, because when I do, I don't like the way I look, you know. And like I said, it's mostly in my face, you know.
Yeah.
But I can see it, you know. If it was in my ass, I wouldn't see it, you know. Although the pants wouldn't fit.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, I understand. I mean, weight is always something. It's like a balancing thing. It's always like, how much can I get by and have fun without getting fat?
Right.
And then once you start to see it, then you have to like scale back.
Yeah, you know. And then you get all these munchies and the chocolate we were talking about.
Oh,
and
I love
stuff,
chocolate.
You know? And it's hard to resist, you know.
I just feel a sense of rebellion. Like I take care of my body, I feel like I do a pretty good job, but I feel a sense of rebellion towards the pop culture of like skinny and the pop culture of, you know, always obsessing about your looks and obsessing about your workouts and what you eat. It's just I'm so over it. It's like, yeah, take care of your body, be healthy. But the whole like perfection idea and the whole like it's never enough, you know. I told you I went to a premiere the other night for the FX TV show called Justified. And this girl walked in. I didn't know she was the lead, but she walked into the premiere and she had a really cute dress on. And I was struck by how thin she was. Now, I'm not talking like in shape thin or naturally petite. I'm talking like she had an open back and you can kind of see like backbones.
Yeah.
And you looked at her sideways and she was like all pretty much anorexic looking.
Yeah.
And I hate to
say, the legs are like really skinny and stuff.
Everything's skinny. And my friend who worked on the show, she goes, she's the lead and she looks normal on TV.
Really?
I said, are you kidding me? This woman looks like she's hurting. Like she looks like she's needs to eat to be alive type hurting.
Right.
She goes, she looks healthy on TV, Kara. Like, and then I was like, you got to be kidding me. Well, we saw the premiere and I was like, oh my gosh, she just looks like a thin, normal woman.
Right.
But in
real
life.
So that's probably why people are preoccupied or this industry is
preoccupied. But it made me go, you know what? It's never enough. I'm never going to win. I just need to take care of myself and live my own life. And because I'm never going to be like that. I mean, even if I drop like some serious weight or whatever, I mean,
It's not just in your genes. I mean, you know, you have a different structure.
Yeah. And I don't really want the other structure. But it's funny because, you know, you just think, oh, just, you know, make sure it's in shape and stuff. This isn't just about being in shape and taking care of your body and being thin. It's about like don't exist.
Yeah, anorexia is cruel, you know, because I think what they see in the mirror is not what we see in the mirror, you know?
Yeah, I think it's biased. But there's also pressure, you know, of the industry of just, right. you know, it's a very cruel industry, and you have to know that going into it.
Yeah, but the thing is, you got to be able to stand in front of the mirror and say, you know what, I'm too thin. You know, my bones are sticking out. But I think they see fat.
I think they see fat, and I think they're told to hate themselves. I think there's a self-hate. I think there's a real self-hate. Like, people are afraid to actually go, hey, I look good, and I love the way I look, and it's not popular. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it does take a certain healthy... And definitely there's so much pressure from society to look a certain way. So if mm-hmm. you don't look that way and you actually like the way you look, it's very unpopular.
Mm.
Like if you're not trying to be what Hollywood says is the look mm-hmm. and you don't look that way and you actually like the way you look, well then, you know, you have to be very secure with yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like the way I look,
mm-hmm.
but I also know that it's not... It's good for, like, everyday living, but for TV, it's mm-hmm. too big.
Mm.
And I have to kind of decide, well, you know, where's my line in the sand? How much and how much work am I going to put into looking a certain way that's not natural for my body?
Right.
And I'll do it to a degree. Like, if I get paid for a role that I need to lose a certain amount of weight, I would do it, but it would be to a healthy... Like, it still would have to be relatively... healthy.
Right.
And it would be for a limited time for that role. Once we're finished shooting, I'm eating.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You'll be
I would,
ready.
I would be, I just can't live like that.
Yeah.
But I also have to say, like, I just, you know, beauty is in so, looks so, there's so many different kinds of beauty. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, why is it one way? I don't think being big has to be what's beautiful. I don't think being thin and tiny is what has to be beautiful. It's just the whole package of the person,
right.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was dating a guy who his previous girlfriend was like Miss something. She was one of those like Miss, let's say Miss Oklahoma or some bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally hot. And she was that stereotypical look, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like the makeup
right.
and the tan and the tiny and the and everything. And I'm a good-looking girl. I mean, I have no problem with it. But I'm telling you, depending on what side of the coin you're looking at, I don't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like a trophy. It depends. I mean, I could probably strap it up enough to do it for like 2 seconds. But I'm not really that person,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I kept thinking, man, she's so hot, you know? And he told me that, like, because of her personality and because of a lot of different insecurities she had and a lot of just her whole package
mm-hmm.
wasn't really a fit for him, and he didn't want to have sex with her.
Right.
And I was like, how did you not want to have sex with her? He goes, having sex with her was like depositing a check.
Really?
He's like, he would do everything he could to not have sex with her. And eventually, mm-hmm. obviously, they broke up.
Mm.
And she's smoking.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot that goes into what's beautiful and
mm-hmm.
sexy. And there's so many women and men that look good on the outside, but but they don't know themselves.
Right.
And they're not, you know, I mean, you've been here a long time. You've seen it all, I'm sure. Just.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everywhere I think that's the case, you know,
mm-hmm.
where the looks are not everything, you know. I mean, the looks like attract you in the first place. But, you know, I mean, obviously, if you can't get along with the person or you're not attracted to them,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it's a waste of time.
Like, I actually think that some fat is erotic.
Mm.
I think women that, you know, just some softness to their body
right.
and some fat is actually sexy.
Yeah. But look at all these paintings from, you know, the Renaissance and stuff. You know, I mean, they used to have, like, curvy women.
Yeah.
You know?
And
so I think the skinny look is pretty recent in our culture.
Yeah, my friend always makes a joke. She's like the curvy girl is making a comeback. And I think that, you know, there's some great celebrities out there that look amazing, that have a lot of curves.
Right.
That are kind of, I think, if you want to say paving the way, but they're kind of making it a little bit more, I mean, you know.
Like acceptable.
Well, when it comes to TV world.
Right.
You know, but mm-hmm. I mean, in LA or Hollywood, I mean, I think, and honestly, I really think that men are like, starving for real women out here.
Mm.
I think it's very different. And in LA, I think men are like, give me a real woman.
Mm-hmm.
No fake breasts, no fake lips,
right.
a healthy sized girl that's confident in her body. You know, I mean, that's in shape. It's like, I think they just want real. There's
right.
something, you know, people talk about, oh, this is what the LA look is, but so many people are over it.
Mm-hmm.
they're over it. It's not. It's the same look on everybody.
Right.
You know, it's the fake boobs.
And after all, people come from different places, you know, and they have those different values and stuff. But somehow this city makes you into that stereotype, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I mean, there is a lot of people here that are looking for more than just that skinny girl.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think there's plenty to do, you know.
Yeah, well, I do. And I think, though, there's a lot. Sarah and I say this. We just think there's a lot of maybe closeted homosexual men, too.
Mm-hmm.
And not to speak out against homosexual men that this is bad, but I think sometimes there's this really weird thing where some guys want their girl to have, like, a little boy's body.
Mm.
And it kind of makes me wonder, like, everything that's womanly about them, they kind of try to take away, like, curvy or boobs.
And
or
flat.
It's almost like, well, maybe you want to be with a man.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's like if you constantly are always oppressing a woman, I call it woman hate. It's like you're constantly, everything that's female and that's natural, and you're trying to push it down and get rid of it. It's almost like, do you really want to be with a woman?
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's about control and power, and it's not really about, you know, what's sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, I mean, apparently a boy had sex with his teacher.
What?
Yeah. And apparently he liked it, you know. I don't know. They don't have anything written on it. It's just a video on CNN here. And I hate those because then you can't really tell what the story is about. But apparently teacher admits to... I'm going to turn this off here. Teacher admits to having... Oh, here we go. A 33-year-old teacher turned herself in and admitted she had sex with a 14-year-old student in California. So it's funny how many times it happens in California. But you see that women also are screwed up and, you know, you
no,
don't
we're
know.
No, we're perfect.
You see?
Whatever, I know.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that, you know, I mean, that's arguable whether that's really, you know, I mean, yeah, you can't consider a 13-year-old to be consensual. But then at the same time, every 13-year-old wishes he could have sex with their teacher, you know. So what I'm saying is, yes, it's against the law. I don't condone it. But I don't know if there's a victim here.
I think that a lot of men agree with you because they're like, woohoo, he scored. But, I mean, yeah, it's wrong. I mean, she's taking away really his choice because he does not have the brain capability right now to think long term.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. It says your brain with it that actually develops to think long term as far as consequences and those kind of decisions doesn't even develop until your 20s.
Right.
So for anybody to say I want this from this person and seduce them and they like it for the moment, well, they're not even capable to make that decision, so it's selfish.
Right.
You know?
No, that's true. That's
but
true.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I think a lot of guys are like, whatever, you know, it's this fantasy that a lot of guys have that they're like, woohoo. But really, I mean, let me ask you, if you were 13 years old and your teacher did you?
I would have loved it. Are you
at
kidding?
At 13, but even now looking back, would you have been like,
yeah.
You would have looked back and been like, man, that biatch totally.
Well, only if it fucked me up, but I can't see how it would, you know.
You're so funny.
I'm telling you, I was like ripe early in my life, you know. I could have gone for it any time, any place. So I was a very frustrated teenager.
How old were you when you first had sex?
I was 15 and a half
oh,
or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you remember your first time?
The first time was actually with someone who was just a slut, and she was sleeping with everybody. So it was an easy thing, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So it wasn't that great, but that doesn't mean that it turned me off to sex or anything, you know.
But it was
I moved on. I can just say that truly that in my life, every time I met a new person, the sex was getting better all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It never, like, I never took a step back and said, you know, God, this sex is not as good as what I had before. It always sort of seemed to get better all the time, you know. But
then you must be living your life like crazy right now.
No, not really. No. But you know what I just discovered here is in Time magazine, they're featuring that book that we were going to talk about, Never Look Fat Again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's featured in Time magazine. So this is cool. We're going to be talking to a best-selling author.
Oh, that's awesome. Never Look Fat Again. I love it.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. It shows you how to get dressed and get all dressed up and stuff so you look thin and stuff. I think, you know, I think... that people are too concerned with friggin' with their looks and the way they, you know, they dress and stuff like that. But what do I know, right?
Well, yeah, it's like an obsession.
Yeah.
It's a complete obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, we're at the end of the show, Kara.
Sam.
And tomorrow's Friday, my favorite day.
Yeah?
So a lot to look forward to. Beautiful weather outside. And thanks again for listening.
Thank you, everybody.
And we'll be back tomorrow.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the Palatial Studios. On